the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
And finally, following the revelation in recent months that Guinness has usurped Carling as the UK's favourite pint, with a 24% increase in sales, consumption of the stout has become particularly conspicuous in some of London's most fashionable bars. I'm joined on the line now by Mark Paul, London correspondent with the Irish Times. Mark, I'm sure you're no stranger to finer hostelries in the better parts of London. Just how visible is Guinness in pubs in London now?
Well, Guinness is everywhere, Richard, in London pubs now. I mean, you know, some of the most fashionable pubs in the city, as you say, are Guinness pubs. It's no longer a drink that's just found in, you know, old man bars, Irish bars in Kilburn and Camden and places like that. I mean, you see it in, you know, any pub around Shoreditch, which is a trendy tech area in the east of London. Or if you look in, you know, even in Mayfair or in the West End, you'll see it. I mean, probably the most fashionable Guinness pub at the moment in London is a pub called the Devonshire, which is just on the edge of Soho, very near Piccadilly Circus Station. And if you go past that pub on any evening, you'll see about 200 people standing outside drinking pints of Guinness. If you go in, almost everybody is drinking pints of Guinness. So Guinness is very much having a moment in London at the moment.
So what's driving this? Is it Diageo's marketing? Is it something that just sort of evolved, happened over social media? What is it?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I certainly think the pandemic had something to do with it. I mean, Guinness's revival or its upsurge in the UK and in London in particular happened when pubs reopened after the pandemic. That's when it began. And I think during the pandemic, Guinness became this sense of nostalgia when all the pubs were closed. I mean, there was lots of social media trends of people tweeting pictures of things that looked like a pint of Guinness. You know, maybe one white sock placed on top of two black socks, you know, that kind of a thing. And it became to represent this sort of nostalgia. I think as well, pubs in London and elsewhere have been focused for about the last decade on craft ales and craft beers. And everybody always moves on to the next thing. And I suppose Guinness was seen over here, certainly in London, as an old man's drink. And now it's a hipster's drink and everybody drinks it. And they put so much effort into it, into how it's poured and how it looks, that it's almost become a bit annoying.
Is it? I mean, are people sort of taking photographs of pints settling on the bar, that sort of thing?
That's what you mean. I mean, you go into a London pub now and you know, you have the three-quarter pour when, you know, it's left to settle before it's finished off by the person behind the bar. And you'll see somebody, they'll whip out their phones, they'll take a picture, they'll have it up on Instagram. But look, I suppose it's just
as a former barman yourself, Mark, is that a bit barfy for you?
Well, look, when you see them doing it, I suppose. Look, maybe when you're Irish, it comes naturally to you to see Guinness poured properly. I think maybe over here to see them make such a big thing out of it. I mean, they have this really annoying thing over here called spitting the G, which is where you try to get the sort of the Guinness scar on the glass after you take a slope to nestle right on the arm of the G in the glass, and that can be a little bit irritating.
That sounds like it was invented last week by somebody.
It does, but they do it everywhere. And young Londoners, young trendy Londoners do this everywhere. It's a little bit annoying. But look, it's just a little bit of fun, I suppose, and a little bit of pseudo-Irish nationalism, something that was ours, they're now claiming back as theirs to a sense. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned that it knocked Carling off the top of the rankings. I mean, there's something in that as well. I mean, you know, Guinness represents maybe Irishness, maybe the European Union, maybe a kind of an unthreatening sense of internationalism, whereas Carling was basically Brexit in a glass. I mean, if you think of Carling as the type of personality around that beer. So I think in London as well, that has something to do with making it cool.
So do you think then, just in that light, are these sort of posh London Guinness drinkers carrying tote bags and working in graphic design or whatever it might be, are they kind of associating it with a bit of a post-Brexit Irishness, or do they just see it as the latest thing and it's something that's international?
I think probably more of the latter. I mean, certainly they will be aware that it's Irishness. I mean, for example, probably the trendiest pub outside of the Devonshire in London for Guinness is probably the Owl Shillelagh up in Stoke Newington. Now, you can't mistake that as anything but an Irish pub, right? I mean, just listen to the name, even though it's a pub for trendy people. But I do think that it is seen as more of a kind of a sense of internationalism. And look, maybe eventually they'll move on to something else. But in the meantime, like Diageo is putting its money behind this. I mean, they're spending 73 million quid at the moment, building basically a kind of a small version of the Guinness Storehouse in Covent Garden, and that should be open around about October. It'll be called Guinness at Old Brewer's Yard. So there's that, and then there's also, but it's not just young, trendy people. I mean, you even see it in political circles. I mean, one of the benefits, I suppose, of being an Irish newspaper correspondent in London is that you find yourself at a lot of events up in the Irish Embassy, and I'm telling you, the highlight of all of these events is always when they come round with the trays of the glasses of Guinness. I mean, the diplomats and the politicians and whoever they are there, they go mad for the stuff.
Yeah, it's not for Ferrero Rocher. No, they're not passing Ferrero Rocher. It reminds me of Christy Moore's List in Varna, a version of it. Before the diplomats would start to play, Seven Creamy Pints came out on a tray. Mark Paul, London correspondent for the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.